Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, begin reading in verse 57 and 58 will be our text for the evening tonight. There's sometimes in church, especially in a Pentecostal service, that our natural inclination is to want to get to the shout because of the emotional. I mean, it's emotional, and that, I don't know how else to say it, but it's emotional. It's a good emotion. God made us with emotions. He knows what we need, and it's good to shout. I'll be honest with you tonight, and I even told Brother Aaron this before service, I did not expect to get to preach tonight, because even from choir practice, there's just a sense of worship and an understanding of and a recognizing of the presence of the Lord in the house. But I'm thankful that the Word of God is not, it's not stories and fables. There's children's stories that I can read to Emma. I've got a whole book of Mother Goose. I mean, I can read those all night long, and they not be any anointed at all. They're just stories. They're fables. The Word of God has been labeled by some to be that, but it's not. It's alive. The Lord told us that it is a living Word, and it applies to our hearts tonight. And I'm thankful to preach His Word tonight. The sense, and I also I want to say this, I'm thankful for the Lord's direction. I felt specifically during the morning service this morning to preach out of this text. And how I want to set it up tonight is this. I want to let our church know we are going to make it. I think it'd be good if we all said that together tonight. We are going to make it. Because in a world of insecurity, a world that has no assurance, a world that is changing all around us, a church world that is changing all around us, I can stand tonight amongst a body of believers and tell you with a full assurance of faith that if we will stand on God's Word, on the principles of God's Word, and on the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, the church of the living God is going to make it. Amen. We are going to make it. We will be triumphant. There's distractions all around us in the world today. There may even be things that come against us from inside. But we, as the body of Christ, if we stay connected to Him, are going to be victorious. We will make it. And so these things that come up and the enemy tries to use to hinder or divide or to draw our attention away from the goal, we just need to serve notice to the enemy tonight that we're going to make it. Our youth group is going to make it. Our elders are going to make it. Our adults, our marriages, our homes are going to make it. Why? Because we've been given a lively hope. The Lord has told us that we've been given a lively hope. And so tonight, we need to have an assurance and an understanding from the very beginning. There is no quitting. There's no turning around. There's no dodging this thing. We're going ahead, and we're going to make it together, and we're going to make it to heaven, and we're going to make it all the way to glory. Amen. Amen. So I just feel like I need to set that up tonight and just remind us that we are going somewhere and we're going to make it. Set it enough so that you ought to know by now where I think we're heading. All right? We're going to make it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is a very important part of that verse. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If it was just for man's approval, our labor would be in vain. If it was just for the applause, it was just for the accommodations, if it was just for the perks, for the benefits, our labor would be in vain. But it's not. Our work is not in vain because we labor for the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I just want to preach on, we're going to make it. Amen. The title says it all. We are going to make it. Amen. Let's pray tonight one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would apply it to our hearts in whatever way you seem fit. Lord, your word is alive and well tonight. It's speaking to my heart in a way that you're challenging me to go forward, and I praise you for that. I pray that you would minister to our hearts, every adult, every young person, God, here tonight, that we would see victory has already been won. We live in you, and you are victory. So tonight, I thank you from the very beginning. God, thank you for victory. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace. Tonight, I worship your name and give you the glory for this service and for what you're about to accomplish around these altars, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for the water. You may be seated tonight. There's three areas of this text that I want us to look at. It's such a powerful end to a very powerful chapter. The chapter 15 in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is addressing a false doctrine that was permeating through the church in Corinth. It was an idea that there was no resurrection for the dead. There were those amongst the body that were proclaiming that there was no resurrection from the dead. And Paul was very adamant that if there was no resurrection from the dead, there could be no salvation. There could be no victory over death. There could be no hope of everlasting life, because we know that Jesus rose from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, he gave us the promise of eternal life for all those who believe in him. Had he not risen from the dead, there would have been no opportunity for us to rise from the dead. But God, Christ Jesus, set the standard for the church. And so Paul is addressing this in this chapter. But I find it amazing. He says here that in one of the verses, I believe it's in verse 45 area, he's talking about how that Jesus will not finish his work until all things are put under his feet. Every enemy, every power, every principality will come under the subjection of Jesus Christ. And his last thing that he said that will be final will be death itself. It will come under the authority of Christ. And it's where we find the verse that says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Amen. I believe tonight that we are living in a victorious hour. You see, we get so, and it's because of our human side, our humanity, as you would. We get encumbered with things that I believe God never intended us to be encumbered with. We are discouraged sometimes daily now by the news of the world around us. We are bothered by things that have crept into the church world as a whole. We are discouraged at things that may happen in our families or in our jobs and our schools. We are sometimes just weary by the daily life around us. But Paul is reminding us that as the kingdom of God, as the church, as the body of Christ, we have already been guaranteed victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. Verse 57, through Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are saved tonight, if you are a child of the King, if you are born again, God has already declared through the power of his Son, you are living in victory. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean to my life on a daily level? I can say spiritually, I am set free. I live in victory, and I do tonight. I've been set free from the bondage of sin. I don't ever have to go back to it. I don't ever have to submit myself to the authority of the enemy. He has no power in my life, and praise God for that. God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. But God has also, because of giving us the victory, established that we can live free. We can live free. We don't have to live like the world. We don't have to live how we used to live. We don't have to go back to the way we lived before in Egypt. They were talking about in the wilderness. They said it'd be better if we just went back to the leeks and the melons, all the while forgetting the whip and the bondage and the slavery and the children that were being murdered on a daily basis. Why? Because when we are in hard times, it seems easy to go back to what is comfortable. But I will tell us this. In the hardest of hours, God's still there. Pastor preached just a tremendous sermon this morning about how God is always with us. Church, we will not fall if we'll stay where he's at. If we'll stay where Christ is at, we're not going to stumble. We're not going to fall. Amen. We may be under attack, but the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, the world will hate you because it's hated me first. And when they hate you, all they're doing is hating me. And so we must never forget that in the hard times, in times of trial or even persecution, God has already told us that victory is ahead. It may not even be considered victory on this side of eternity, but by the grace of God and the hope of heaven, we have been promised victory for eternity. Hallelujah. Victory ahead. Now there's a few points that I want to show us tonight that I think that we must do to maintain the idea or maintain our focus, maintain our goals, I should say. First thing we've got to do, we've got to be steadfast. Verse 58 talks about this. Paul said, my beloved brethren, and he's talking to the body, so brothers or sisters, tonight, hear me. Be steadfast. Amen. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Steadfastness, an unwavering or devotedly firm stance. It's a stance that says, no matter what happens, I'm going to be steadfast in who I am and what I believe. We must be steadfast in the doctrines that the Bible has already told us is the truth. We live in a world that is so saturated with you do whatever feels good to you, this postmodernistic, free, you know, this isn't actually blue, this is green, because I think it's green, not just because I'm colorblind. I mean, that's how the world says, if you think it's red, Sister Maggard, you say it's red. No, my sweater is blue because our eyes tell us it's blue. Now, Brother Bill would say, how do we know? But that's a whole other topic. We've got to hold on to the doctrines of the Word of God. This is not an hour to be trying to decide what we want to believe. Trying to pick and choose what makes me feel the most comfortable. Trying to pick and choose what makes my life the easiest. And I can do this and feel okay. I can live this way. No, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We must be steadfast in our doctrine. As a church, we must remember that we will always be more powerful, unified, rather than divided. If we are divided on our doctrine, we will be divided from the inside out and have no power. But when a church stands together and says, thus saith the word of God, this is why we believe it, this is who we are, that stance, that steadfastness carries with it the closeness of victory. We've got to be steadfast in our doctrine. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I am thankful for the truth of God's word. Amen. I am thankful for the truth of God's word. It's true for you. It's true for me. Amen. It's been true for 2,000 years, and it's going to be true tomorrow. The doctrines of the word of God do not change, and we must hold fast to the things that we have been taught and given to us. We will stand before God in judgment, amen, and give an account of the things that God has allowed us to know and believe. And in the hour that we live in, when there is a changing in the air, when there is a laying down of every type of doctrine and belief, it is time to hold fast in this hour. Amen. A city that's set on a hill doesn't turn the lights off. And it's time to be steadfast in our doctrines. Amen. We believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Came as a born of a virgin, died on the cross for our sins, rose again. He is the Son of God. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's real. Amen. You can't convince me otherwise, because I know him for myself. It's time that we stand again on the doctrines of his word. We stand for sanctification. We stand for a living God. We stand for a God that can change the lives of men and women. We must stand for the doctrines of the word of God and be steadfast in his word. We must be steadfast in our dedication. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Has there ever been a night like tonight where we see the day approaching? It is time to band together. It's time to be steadfast in our dedication to the house of the Lord, to our prayer time, to our Bible reading, amen, to the fellowship of the saints. We must be steadfast in our dedication, amen. We are not of those who draw back into perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul, amen. God is calling us to a deeper walk, and that requires a level of dedication that can only be brought about by a born-again experience, amen. There's a lot of folks who've been dedicated to religion only to find themselves lacking, only to find themselves still empty. But when you are dedicated to Christ and we have laid our lives at His feet, that dedication does not waver, for we know that we have hope beyond this world. We must be steadfast in our dedication. Amen. I preached last time, we need one another, and we do. But we need each other to be faithful and dedicated to the house of God. Amen. To the things of God, to the work of God, dedicated. We need to be unmovable. Secondly, tonight, faithful. We need to be faithful. Amen. Faithful to our convictions. It's what gives us identity. It's what gives us separation from the world. It's who it defines us as who we are as a people, our convictions. I know that there are certain things that the Spirit of the Lord will place in our hearts as a personal conviction. They're not debatable. It's just something that God has done in a work in our hearts. Some of us have a temptation or certain things to this area, and so maybe God knows that's our weakness, and He puts a guard and a fence in our spirit. And that's fine. I appreciate personal convictions, but God has laid out in His Word, amen, spiritual convictions that we ought to have a Christian worldview in this hour that defines who we are, that we are faithful to. Are we not living in a world that is changing amongst the people of God every day, folks who have preached the Word of God for generations and all of a sudden say it was all for naught? Amen. We must hold to our identity and be faithful to the convictions that the Word of God has established for us to live by. He never intended Israel to live in a way that they would say, your rules are not for our good. He established the rules of law and the rules of convictions for Israel for their own safety and protection and for their blessing. And God will do the same for a church that wants to know Him. He said in His Word, be holy, for I am holy. But as that which hath called you is holy, be holy in all manner of lifestyle. We've got to be faithful in our convictions. Amen. The world is looking at you and wants to know why. They want to know why you believe what you believe. And we need to be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks. Amen. Does it not alarm us if they are not asking why we're not different? God has called us to be a separate, holy church. Amen. A church that is set apart. A church that's ready for His coming. We must be unmovable, even when it's not popular. Amen. Sometimes the most lonely place to be is a church that is balanced on the Word of God. But we must be unmovable no matter what pressure comes, no matter who says that we are out of date, or no matter who says we are not up to the standard of which they believe. We must live according to the Word of God and be unmovable. The world cannot change us. The world cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The book of Romans tells us that. So knowing that, we can be unmovable in a good way, in a way that says, I'm standing my ground for the Word of God's sake. Amen. You know, we've never faced persecution in America. It's been a blessing to be a Christian in this nation. There are folks all over the world today who proclaim Christ, and for that proclamation, they'd lay down their life. Tonight, are we going to be unmovable in what God has given us? This nation is in a desperate need for some churches to be unmovable and unshakable, even when the tide goes another way. This nation is crying out for churches that will hold to their convictions. Amen. We need to be unmovable in our commitments. Amen. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We must be unmovable in our commitment to Christ. It seems that every day, I hear more and more, and it doesn't have to be this way. It just seems to be how it is, that more and more people are just quitting. Just quitting after all the years of work, after all the hours of labor, after the blood, the sweat, the tears, after all the victory reports, after everything that we've seen, and yet it seems that their commitment is wavering. Amen. God wants us to be faithful to Him. As Pastor preached this morning, when we're faithful to God, He'll always be faithful to us. He's always going to be faithful to us. It's our duty to be faithful, and it's a privilege to be faithful to God. Amen. Hasn't He done so much for us, church? Hasn't He done so much for us? We got to be unmovable. Amen. The enemy would love to just pluck somebody else out tonight again. He'd love to get that pew empty. He'd love to destroy your life. He'd love to move you from what God is wanting to do. He'd love to get us distracted from the things that the Lord is wanting and already doing amongst us. He'd love to move us. But if we're standing on the rock, we can be unmovable. Amen. Lastly tonight, amen, the Lord has told us that we can be abounding. We can be overflowing and plenteous in what God is doing. He said here in verse 58, "Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, sometimes, well, they call it work for a reason. Whether it's at the church or whether it's at your job, it's work. It's taken many years, Brother Steve, to get that many kids on the bus. A lot of work. A lot of Saturdays given up at Sidewalk Sunday School. A lot of hours of planning and preparation and puppet practice. And a lot of time loving when maybe there wasn't a need or deserving of love, I should say. There's a lot of work that goes involved. But we've got to abound in the work of the Lord because we've been promised victory through Him. God's promised us fruit if we'll get in the harvest. God's promised us a reward if we faint not. Amen. Tonight I want to remind us that we can have an overflowing calling. I'm so thankful tonight to be a preacher of the gospel and for what God has done in my life and my brothers' lives. It is an honor to serve Him. The calling of God is such an honor that we must never forget that He has called us to be about His business. It is not for our own benefit or our own good that we do this. It is that we serve God, that the kingdom of God may abound and overflow, and that labor that we sometimes feel is in vain, maybe it just doesn't go the way that we want it to. As a youth pastor, I grieve sometimes knowing that after hours and hours, maybe a life does go a different direction. You just wonder, was it in vain? Well, no, it's not in vain, because God was the reason behind it in the first place. We cannot give up in this hour because we are discouraged or tired. We must remember that the work of God and the calling of God is an abundant calling. It is a joy to serve in the kingdom. It is a joy to be a laborer in the harvest. It is a joy to serve Jesus Christ. And it will be an overflowing or plentiful blessing. He's called us and He will equip us. He will equip His kingdom. Amen. That kingdom is going to be an abounding kingdom. In Philippians, Paul wrote that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or got a hold of anything, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. What's that saying? It's saying that as the kingdom of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have none reached the exact pinnacle of where we want to get to. Brother Ryan and I were talking about this before church. I'm so far removed from where God brought me, but I'm so far from where I still want to be in God. We've none made it yet, but as a part of the kingdom of God, we're striving together that the kingdom of God may flourish. It's all about the kingdom of God. If we've forgotten that tonight, that's really what I'm talking about. It's all about God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is going to make it. Let's stand tonight. Our labor is not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. Oh man, we can get so discouraged in this walk wondering if we've really wasted our time. And the enemy loves to plant that idea. It's a lie. I'm just letting you know right now, it's a lie from the enemy. But he loves to use that one. Because if he can convince us that what we're doing is worthless, he knows that humanity must have a need to do something. We've got to have purpose. There's not a individual alive that wants to go through life without purpose. And if they do, they're bound by the enemy. Because God made us with purpose. And the enemy knows that if he can get our minds and our attention off of what God wants us to do as a body, then we'll start dividing everywhere. You know, this little group's doing this thing. This little group's over here. We're over here. God, just division. But I'm telling you what, God's kingdom is not divided. And those who are part of the kingdom of God know this: we strive together. We will fall together and we will get back up together. We have wept with each other and we have laughed with each other. We have rejoiced with each other and we have been downhearted with each other. But it is together that we go forward. It is together that we abound. It is together that we are steadfast. It is together that we are unmovable. If we do it alone, we will surely fall. But if we stick together as the body of Christ, if we go towards the prize, if we go towards the mark, we will arrive at the blessing of God because we are following His footsteps. We are being led by the Spirit of God. And I would just like to remind our church tonight, we're going to make it. Because if we stick where God is and stay close to Him, He'll never leave us or forsake us, reiterating what Pastor told us this morning. Do you want to make it? Amen. Do we want to draw close to each other tonight and just let the kingdom of God flourish? Amen. We need one another, and together, through the power of Jesus Christ, we will make it. Let's come pray tonight. Music, go ahead and come and play whenever you get here. But tonight, let's just pray all across the house. Let's find a place to pray. Bind together tonight. We need one another. Amen. Let's bind together. Praise God. We're going to make it, church. We're going to make it. Amen. We are going to make it. Praise the Lord. We are conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Roadies, we're going to make it. Amen. The Lord has not forsaken us as a youth group. We're going to make it. We're going to make it all the way. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to make it.
Anything. to know.